too hard to do this. Fortune Wheelie Sibanda, thank you so much for joining me. Well, I'm joining you at your wonderful event. So for those watching and listening who don't know, Fortune is the Sub-Saharan Africa Director of Public Policy and Government Relations at TikTok, which is a really, really, really big deal at the best of times, because as a creator platform, as a social platform, as a stunningly viral popular platform, TikTok is really important. Yeah. And the way that TikTok handles TikTok, particularly in an election season where there's going to be a lot of misinformation and disinformation and bigotry and politicians and activists and secret propagandists trying to take advantage of the power that TikTok gives them as a platform to spread their opinions and their views and their facts or falsehoods, it's really important that you guys handle this time period properly. So thank you for setting this up at this event and for this exclusive interview. I want to start with a question I asked you a little earlier. You must be having sleepless nights over this election season, even though you're not running for anything, just because of the pressure you must feel for TikTok to largely avoid allowing trouble in this election season on the app.
Very true. Thank you. Thank you, Dan, for having me on the show. I, first of all, I want to go on record and say that I do not recognize you without the beanie. So I could be talking to an imposter right now. So now that's out of the way.
Thank you.
Yeah, indeed. So, you know, elections integrity is a very serious thing for us. You know, protecting the integrity of our platform, especially when it comes to civic processes such as elections, is top of mind for us. We actually have a team, a global team, that's working in the background. They're not even here. They were not even here for this event earlier today. They're actually called the Elections and Integrity Team. Their job is primarily that. So what we then do ahead of high-priority elections such as these, we set up, you know, specific programs in advance of that election to make sure that voters, our users as citizens, or our users as voters, they can be able to get accurate information from our platform, if this is what they come looking for.
Sure.
So that they are also able to then make informed decisions. So, like I said earlier, we cannot wait for the elections to be over so that we can get back to regular programming. But what we were doing is just a tiny, tiny drop in the ocean to what the rest of the team actually is doing in the background. We actually have a mission control room, sort of like a war room,
on a
daily basis, where we're tracking trends, we're monitoring content, we want to see what the mood is like so that we're able to protect the platform during this critical period.
So anybody who's used TikTok knows that you guys have a content moderation system, you have community guidelines, you can report and sometimes be reported by others, as I have a few times, for things that they don't like, whether it be somebody believing that there's hate speech or bullying or misinformation or you know, serious violations. And then TikTok's got a really effective, firstly, automated system that sometimes removes damaging stuff even before anybody reports it, but then also a referrals team who can look at particular cases. You were showing some data about how many videos get taken down. Wasn't it 170 million a year? Or am I miss?
There were
so many numbers. What is happening?
It's actually not in a year, in 3 months.
Wow.
So in a quarter. So that report that we shared earlier is for the quarter ending December 2023.
Sure.
We are working on the Q1 report for 2024. I think it's going to be out, you know, I think in a few weeks' time or something like that.
But it shows how many videos need to be dealt with on this platform, which is extraordinary. And then you think about the fact that there are going to be people with agendas trying to influence voters this election time. Talk to me a little bit about this kind of like voter awareness function that comes up on certain searches now that you guys have launched in partnership with the Electoral Commission. Tell us about that.
So, today, we also announced the launch of our Elections Hub. So this is a hub that we've built in the app, on the TikTok app itself, that contains information about the South African election. So one of the ways in which, the most effective way of fighting misinformation is to make accurate information available.
I see.
If you don't put accurate information, so the rumors and the inaccuracies and the false or fake news is going to thrive. So we went to the IEC and say, put out your information there so that when users get to TikTok and they are looking for information about the election, they are searching, we'll redirect them to to your portal.
I see.
So it's a very, very important thing. We learned this actually during COVID. You know, those uncertain days during COVID when there were all sorts of things about what causes COVID and how can you protect yourself, and later the vaccines and the myth around that. We learned very quickly working with global partners such as the World Health Organization, UNICEF, that one of the best ways of tackling misinformation is to put out the correct information first and foremost.
So it arrives on certain search functions, like if you search South African elections, then it says at the top elections hub, you can click learn more.
Yes, learn
it's
more.
In a variety of South African languages. What kind of actual information is in there for people?
So we've got a lot of information. Most of it, actually all of it is not from TikTok.
I see.
Right? It's information we take from our partners. So the topmost about voting days, you know, what you and I may think is obvious,
yes,
to some people it may not be.
For sure.
Or to some people in communities where they only have one source of information, it would be easy for you to say elections are actually on this day and not on the other day. So in that way, you can disenfranchise thousands, if not millions of people. So basic stuff like, what is voting day? What do you need to bring on the polling station and so on in the timelines? And remember, the IEC hasn't just started this process now with us. They've been doing similar exercises even during voter registration. So they're now using the power of TikTok to reinforce those messages to people.
Sure.
They could be first-time voters. They don't know when they step up there to the polling station, what do I need to bring and what to expect. So we've got all that information there. And then the second part of that is around digital literacy, which I think is very crucial.
Yeah.
So this is an attempt to build some sort of resilience among our community of users to be able to spot misinformation, but also to be able to aware. You know, you need to take a bit of time before you reshare that exciting video that you saw. It could be you are now also resharing or spreading misinformation.
Sure.
So we're trying to educate people to not to be part of the problem. Just take a moment before you reshare. So one of the innovative things about what we've done about this specific portal for this election in South Africa is the introduction of six more languages, in fact, including sign language. So we're trying as much as possible to, you know, reach out to as many of our user community as possible,
yeah,
in the language that they understand, so that should they be searching for elections-related information,
sure,
this is the one-stop shop where you can go.
Okay.
In addition to that, now is videos that may be discussing, let's say, if an election topic is land. Let's say this. Then someone who gets on there, they're discussing land and stuff like that, and they make wild claims about this or that. We then take that video to our fact-checking partners who can check if what this person is saying is
so
true.
That's what I want to talk about now, South Africa is such a unique place,
yeah,
and one of the hardest places to understand in the world for anybody not from here, because such a complicated history, so many language groups, so many cultural and ethnic groups, interests, so many experiences of class and rural and urban living and all this, that I imagine it's actually really flipping hard to fact check in South Africa, even down to like what words are offensive here that aren't offensive elsewhere, or what kind of racial tropes or homophobic or whatever tropes are. And I mean, you guys must really have some fabulous partners to help you in that process.
We need them. We definitely need them. One of the things that we emphasized earlier is the power of collaboration. We can never do this on our own. We're definitely not experts in all of those issues that you mentioned.
Yeah.
There are organizations that specialized in this, you know, organizations like Africa Fact Check, the Human Rights Commission, Media Monitoring Africa, the IEC itself. So we lean on many of these partners in order to make sure that we get it right most of the time. In 2021, the local government elections, we had a similar partnership with the IEC, Media Monitoring Africa, and an organization called the Real 411, so the Real News, right, where people can go to this website, take a link to a video, paste it on that website, and say, can you give me a bit more information about what this person is saying on this piece of video? And then there's a whole team of researchers that then goes in the background and check the veracity of that information. Of course, they may not be able to, you know, verify all of it, but those that are verified obviously we'll let them let those videos be on the platforms. Those that are not verified, we can take specific action.
Sure.
Those that we are not able to completely verify, we then put a tag there that, you know what, the claims being made in this video have not been verified. So that you as a consumer or as a user, you can take it with a pinch of salt. And then we redirect you to the website, let's say, of a news organization that's covering that story, or to a research institution that has more information about that story. So this is just one of the many ways in which we're trying to empower the user community, not to necessarily believe everything that you hear or say, in not just on our platform, but in real life as real life. So especially now when it comes to election, this is very, very crucial.
How do you deal with comment sections? Particularly how is it that some comments on videos that are clearly bigoted go down so fast, maybe even before anyone could have meaningfully commented, or they never even appear. Yeah. They just go straight to not even a folded comment, like an approved or deleted comment.
We would credit our technology for that. The majority of our moderation, even for just video, even for just text or audio content or pictures, majority of that is our machine learning algorithms, right? So they are so advanced that, for example, in a picture or in a video, they are able to differentiate between tomato sauce and blood.
Wow.
Right?
That's phenomenal.
yes, it has to improve to that level. So by and far, the majority of the moderation that we do is done by machine learning.
I see.
So when it comes to comments, especially written comments, it's much, much simpler, because it's a question of taking an offensive word, the way it is spelled, or its various forms, or, you know, kind of things, and then just feed it into the machines and say, you know what, if A meets B equals C.
I see.
Simple. So it gets automatically taken down or moderated. But we also tell creators themselves that you can also disable comments. You can also filter out specific keywords.
Yeah.
Right? So let's say you're going to post a video. You know that people are going to mention this keyword a lot, maybe your nickname that you don't like people to use. You can just filter as you are uploading the content and say, any comment that mentions this word, don't even show it.
I see.
Right. So we try to also empower the creator community for your own mental health as well, to be able to filter out so that you don't have to deal with very negative comments. But also, more importantly, you know, when it comes to elections, to make sure that what you are talking about gets across and not now be diverted by trolling, you know, comments and stuff like that.
So what are people and political parties allowed to do regarding politics on TikTok?
So first of all, this is a long-standing policy of TikTok since inception. We view ourselves primarily as an entertainment platform. So, and as such, we do not believe that paid political advertising has got space in our platform.
Okay.
So we do not take paid political advertising. So that is not an issue for us. They can advertise elsewhere, radio, TV, newspapers, other platforms. There's got a lot of them. But for us, we do not do that. What we also do is that for accounts belonging to politicians or political parties or government officials, we turn off monetization features so that they are not able to fundraise on the platform using TikTok.
Even on lives.
So automatically that account, once it's identified with a system of identifying them, once it's identified, we turn off that feature. For us, we believe that the realm of elections and politics should be free speech.
Sure.
It shouldn't be paid for. But they are free to talk about their opinions on which parties they can encourage
people
to vote and whatever. Wear the merchandise, you know, do your thing, but it's not paid for.
I see.
It should be organic, you know, authentic conversations as in real life.
What are you most worried about in this next month? Because it's pretty much, it's like a month and on the day of recording, 6 days. What are you most worried about in this election season regarding TikTok?
I don't want to be cocky. I don't want to be cocky. You're going to forgive
worried.
Me. Forgive
He's
me.
Yeah,
please forgive me. Because you know why I'm saying that? It's because there is a lot of work that is gone in the background. in the run-up to not just this election, but many other elections worldwide. We've seen tougher elections. I mentioned earlier Kenya.
Yes.
We also know the US, you know, that Trump period. We've seen tough elections globally for all platforms.
Right.
South African election, not so much. Even IEC here said, you know, the campaign has been very muted and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I think that's how elections should be, really. They should, people should be able to even agree to disagree, be able to converse across the aisle and proceed and make their decisions. So a lot of work. I'm confident in that we've done quite a lot of work, but a lot more work still needs to be done on a daily basis, not just in the run-up to, but even post the elections, to make sure that we don't see tensions specifically spilling over into the streets. That for me would be a big concern, you know, when people now start, you know, disagreeing in a violent manner or protests and stuff like that. This is something that we definitely don't want to see in South Africa. But this is not about platforms either. It's just elections should come and go as they
should.
They should. And then we can carry on with the business of living.
Well, Fortune Gwili Sibanda, thank you for all the work that TikTok has put in and for this event. Best of luck. I hope that TikTok handles this elections as well as it has projected it will. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
Awesome, thanks a lot. I'll put the beanies back on so you know who I am.
That's you. Thanks, bro.
Thank you so much, man.
Okay.